Hello, good morning.
Morning.
I'm so
Lovely to
happy.
see you.
I first learned about hashtag impact actually when I was reading an article in Tatler. I was looking for podcasts in English because in Hong Kong, most of the podcasts are in Cantonese. And I came across this article. There were many podcasters, but I found that Regina Larco, the founder of Hashtag Impact, was really resonated with me, your story. I made some research, looked at the podcast, listened to some of the episodes, because you are actually celebrating 100 episodes. Congratulations, that's fantastic. It's a
Thank you.
beautiful accomplishment. So I've selected the subject that really resonated with me. And I found you as well on LinkedIn, and we connected because not only you share impactful stories and experience through your podcast, but you also help new podcasters to launch and to grow their podcast. And you share your experience in a such beautiful way, very humble and very honest. And that's really what touched me the most. Because you tell your own fear and your own mistakes, and it becomes really personal, really true. And that resonates with us beginner, because we say, oh, but that's fine if I fear that I might be judged. That's fine if I'm doing mistake, because that can still work in the end. So that you're very reassuring, and I really appreciate that. And because you're natural, you go into yourself inward, and you're able to dig into your old feeling, to embrace them, to share them. So you don't even fear the judgment anymore. You've done that so many times. That's why it feels so natural and beautiful. And I say, wow, Regina is really an inwarder. I got to know how she did. And I'm really grateful that you accept to join the podcast and to share your own experience, because that's very valuable. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me, Annabelle. I'm so amazed by the journey you are on as well. So I'm so much looking forward to go inward with you now.
Wow. So I've listened to the fourth chapter about your own story, because usually in Hashtag Impact, you give a voice to those who don't necessarily have one, which is quite interesting because that's something you did yourself. You felt that you didn't have a voice. That's what you experienced first. And that's what you share in the first chapter of your own story. And you overcome that and you said, well, that's each voice is so important. I'm going to do that for others. So you share other people's story. But what I found interesting in your own story is that you understand why it turned out the way it did, how it made you grow, and it made you find your own strength to do exactly what you're supposed to do, your calling to share story, impactful story. Can you tell us how it started and how you felt that you didn't have your own voice?
I think a lot of the people that are listening to Hashtag Impact, or maybe even have known me for a while, they might not even know that story
The
because,
shoot is wonderful.
you know what you said before, that I really stepped into getting more comfortable, sharing my true self and not feeling afraid anymore to be judged. And it is true that I got much more confident to put my voice out there because of my podcast. It really empowered me. I wanted to empower my guest, but it really empowered myself so much as well. There is still, every day there would be moments when I have to make that conscious effort and choice that I decide to keep putting my voice out there. And that story that you're referring to, these four chapters that I recorded a while back, I didn't really share that very publicly. I didn't promote it a lot. I even didn't put it on the podcast itself. So, you know, you actually inspire me that I should share it more. That yes. story, that when I share the story of hashtag impact, I usually talk about how I started with doing the research, how I came up with the topic. But once I started doing that, I had committed to doing it. But if you look back, there were many years when I wasn't even thinking about starting a podcast yet, where I was already looking to find my voice and my place in the world, right? And that really goes back to my, I guess, you know, as a teenager, but then as a university student, just trying to figure out who am I and who am I also professionally, yeah? When I'm not just Regina the student anymore, but Regina the professional. And there were a lot of doubts along the way that I'm sharing in these four chapters that you have listened to. Thank you for taking the time. When I often felt that my voice wasn't heard and that I quite easily just gave up, you know, when I was going after some dreams, I quickly gave up on my dreams as well.
Yes, but when I look at all the chapters, I agree. The fear, because your story resonated with me because you had an early vision of what you wanted to do, but it needed to mature because you knew you had to talk, to broadcast, to share something. But at that time, when you thought you gave up on your dream, you actually didn't know what you were going to talk about. And that came in another chapter when you actually had to move to China and you made research in the education field and you fine-tune that what actually you cared about the most is stories that are really impactful for a community and what brings positive, what brings value to most of the people around, not just few people, you know, and that's what I think you selected the word impact. It's big. It goes beyond us. So if you had got the job right away in the broadcasting when you were a student in Australia, maybe you would not have found that. So it's actually a present in disguise, you know. It's for the best.
Absolutely. And I think we all have these moments, don't we, where we think that this is a career path we should take. And I've had many. The broadcasting dream was one of them. That was a big one. And that I was dreaming during my time as a student. I thought, so for the people that haven't listened to that chapter yet, I really thought that would be my only way into broadcasting, you know, as an Austrian. My worldview was also maybe a little bit limited. So I thought the only way to do broadcasting was to get into the Austrian, like, national broadcasting collaboration, a corporation, and become like a foreign correspondent for them. So that was like a vision I had, like that could be something. So I tried to get an internship there, or I didn't even apply for it. I just tried to make that first connection with some people there at a job fair. Yeah. And they just turned me, they didn't even turn me down. They didn't even care to talk with me. So in that way, I thought, okay, that was my only chance I had. And I guess it's not happening for me then. So that's really, I think, also how not just my voice evolved and knowing what I want to talk about. You're so right, Annabelle. What would I have talked about back then? I was totally, I guess, still looking and confused. And only my time in China really made me understand the topics that, because I got to connect with these amazing researchers and worked for this think tank and did this impactful work, then I realized that these were the stories I'm really interested in. And that light me up and that I want to get heard. But I guess what I want to say here is that, isn't it funny that the places we end up, like, how did I end up here in Hong Kong doing this podcast?
It was perfect. But when you think about it.
But it just happened.
Exactly. It just happened. It's this amazing that it's all planned, almost like part of a big plan. And when we try to make it happen, when you say, okay, if I want to make this happen, I'm going to go into broadcasting. That's where it will be happen. We are so focused on make it happen ourselves. It's actually happening anyway. So our job is more to let it happen, to have faith and to just go with the flow. And of course, that involves going with the fear that we don't have a voice. Or, I mean, I still have the fear that nobody will actually listen to my podcast. I think that's a normal feeling for any podcaster, but it comes regularly. Or to be judged about the quality of what I say, or does it matter? And then you have to go through that to embrace it all, to be able to carry on. And when I look at you first launched your podcast in 2017. And when you look back, and you say it several times, you have to carry. Sometimes it's not that easy. You have to keep going. You have to keep faith. But when you do that, it's unfolding by itself. It's beautiful. It's magic.
One of my guests recently said on the podcast something that I take with me now as well. I thought that was so beautiful. She said she used to think that, you know, when we are talking about, we have to leave our comfort zone, you know, push past that fear, just get out of your comfort zone. But then she reframed that for her to say, I'm just going to expand my comfort zone. And I love that. I get goosebumps just saying that. And, you know, that's the thing, like with all these people I connect, they all have their stories. They do impactful work, but I get to know them as a person as well. And then they share these beautiful things with me. And that helps me grow as well and expand my comfort zone. And that's what you're doing as well, Annabelle. You know, that's wonderful that you took that step and are brave enough to put your voice out there. No matter in the end if how big your audience gets, you took that first step. And that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. True, you're right. The audience doesn't matter because that's the ego talking. So the ego for me is the identity we have on our body and mind, and what we, when we think we have only one path to make it happen, or when we think we need to take the rein over from this beautiful orchestra, life orchestra that makes things happen anyway, but we think we need to take over. That's ego playing. So when I worry about stats or if people are going to judge or not, that's my ego speaking. And now I just embrace the feeling. I mean, the fear is here, so I better embrace it anyway. But I go back to me, to the presence within me, and I say, okay, I'm just going with the flow anyway. And it's beautiful to see where it's going. And as you say, thanks to your podcast, you're meeting extraordinary people. And I agree with you that sometimes it's not so much what they do, but who they are that makes their story fascinating. And that's why I think you should put those four chapters in the podcast itself, because getting to know you is helping to understand everything around the podcast. It's because your creation is you. There's no distinction. And when you meditate, you see that there's no separation. We tend to see a perception of the world that tends to be separation all the time, in a body, in our thoughts, and what is mine and what is yours. But actually, when we're able to bypass that, we see that everything is connected. So whatever you create is you, it's your energy. I'm just curious, out of those hundreds of episodes that you have created, were there one episode in particular that you can remember that challenged you the most, that you say, meeting all those people and discussing all the subject makes you heal and grow? Was there one in particular you can share with us?
My mind always starts racing as soon as I hear that question.
For
because
sure.
Then there are just all these little moments popping up in my head. Each and every one of them unique. And it's always hard for me to say there is one particular moment that was the most impactful. I guess the one I would love to mention here is when I when I became a listener of my podcast, that was very impactful to me, meaning when I introduced other people to be hosts on Hashtag Impact. And that was due to the fact that I had a lot of babies as well. Three. In the past few years, three to be to put that on the record. And I really wanted to keep the content going while I was on maternity leave. And a way for me to do that was to work with these wonderful women that stepped up and stepped in, you know, expanded their comfort zone, also put their voice out there. Each and every one of them was so nervous about it, about doing it, and about doing their first recording on their own. I guided them along the way. They were like my first podcasting students as well. And I still get goosebumps thinking about that. I was at a checkup with my then second born daughter. She was maybe a few weeks old. We were in this, you know, public health center, and she had to get a vaccination shot. And she was in the carrier sleeping. So I could take the time to tune into the podcast. Sure. And I had scheduled it all. No, I wasn't at the computer at all. It was all planned and scheduled, and it popped up, you know, on my like kind of, well, not notifications. I turn all notifications off to actually be more productive. But I checked if it already went live, because I knew the day, like that would be the day it would go out. Yeah. And then when I was listening to, you know, my own podcast, hearing Amanda Williams, who was my very first guest host on Hashtag Impact, do an amazing job interviewing this wonderful change maker, I was just, it was almost like an out-of-body experience. And it impacted me a lot, because I understood that moment that this is not just about me sharing stories. This has become a shared vision of people that joined me along the ride. Yeah. And that's really meaningful to me.
It is, because it's your own impact, your inspired people that want to come along and to do, who have similar maybe calling and want to do the same, want to participate. That's beautiful. Any fear that someone would do this better than you do? Because that's when you told me that, it's actually what resonated with me. The first thought that came up in my mind, to be very honest with you, is that, oh my God, someone is going to do it so much better than I do.
You know, in a way, I don't know, yes and no, because they are doing it amazingly. And there's definitely something about Amanda Williams, for example. She's a native English speaker, and there's definitely something about the way she hosts her episodes that is, how should I say, very rich in just vocabulary. The words she can use, right? The range of vocabulary. So that's something I maybe have in the past, like when I launched a podcast, felt very intimidated about. Like, I'm not a native speaker. I will make grammar mistakes. I will pronounce words wrong. There are certain words I keep pronouncing wrong, even though I know it's wrong. It's just so ingrained.
It is. That's how it's our accent. Absolutely.
Right. Oh, my goodness. But then, like, I'm very proud. Like, that's what I feel. Like, the most downloaded episode of Hashtag Impact Podcast used to be the one, a very personal one I put out with my mom.
Wow.
For years, that was the top downloaded episode.
Mom, I'm coming after you. Careful.
Yes.
Regina inspired me.
You should do that. I mean, I would love to do a whole series, just like an internal private podcast with my family. I'm doing that. That, like, it's on my radar. Diddly. Because the voices are so powerful, right? My grandparents' voices. I want always, like, my children, my grandchildren to be able to hear the voices of their, you know, maybe people that passed then. Yeah.
It's
so that's
funny,
but that's a whole other topic I'm getting into here.
But it's,
yeah.
It's funny. That means you're very sensitive to voice. And I completely resonate with your story of being a little bit afraid that because we're not English native, well, of course, we do grammar mistakes and we have our own accent. But I found out that some of my listener, that helped me, because I'm a foreigner, I will speak slowly. And because I don't use a very complex vocabulary, just because I can't, I don't have that, it makes it easier for non-native as well to understand. It's the same when I listen to native English podcasts. Sometimes there are words that I just don't understand, or expression. And I often use my mobile as a dictionary just to check the meaning, because I'm not quite sure. So it makes probably the contents easy to grasp, so to wider audience. And I think in Hong Kong, it's particularly important because it's a very mixed and rich community.
Absolutely. And where I totally lost my train of thought there, Annabelle, but just to give the reference I wanted to give was that, so that episode with my mom used to be on top, right? It was so popular.
Sure.
But then recently the episode that my guest host Carol Lee produced, where she spoke to an organization that helps and supports North Korean refugees, is now the top downloaded. So, you know, I'm so thrilled about that. You know, I don't feel that, oh, now Carol's episode is so much better than all the ones I produced before. It's more, actually, it makes me super happy that hers is on top of the list. And especially because she was also really reluctant to even go out recording. So I feel that's even a bigger impact. And that's something kind of like a legacy that I can leave behind. Even if I would disappear, there would be all these people now putting their voices out there. That's a big vision I have for the channel, that there would be even more of these guest hosts involved from all over the world.
That's a beautiful picture. And I agree that once we embrace our fear, like someone would take it and do better, actually, we can see reality, and reality is each voice is unique. Each person brings something completely unique. So it's not a competition. It's about each and one of us having the opportunity to express ourselves and to do what we've been called to do. And you're helping each and one of those people to do that. And because you participate in their own calling, they make this picture wider and wider. And I have no doubt one day it'll be launched somewhere else. You know, there are many places in the world where we can share impactful story for sure. That's not always easy, busy. We make it sound now that it's been very easy and you went with the flow creating your podcast. But of course, over the years, it's been an up and down. And when we create something, we always forget that we have to give up something else. And I remember that when you told me that you were doing some work for my favorite magazine in the entire world, The Economist, and you told them several times, no, I can't do this work because I'm going to focus on my own impactful podcast, you know, and I was like, how can you say no to The Economist? But you did. And can you share what it took? It takes a courage. It takes faith in your own voice, your story to do that. And now you have even people coming to you and say, I wish I had the courage to do what you've been doing. They might regret because the fear is so intense. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't so easy for you because the fear is the fear. We share it. It's something we have all in common. And it can be really overwhelming. I know it is sometimes in my case. You accepted that. You embraced that. And you've been able to make choices and to stand on it. That's so beautiful. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was around the time when that podcast idea in my head just kept popping up and buzzing up. I was always a passionate podcast listener, but at the time I was doing a lot of project-based work with The Economist, among other magazines as well. So yeah, as you say, I think I never forget that moment when I got my email address, Regina Larco at Economist, or was it The Economist? Look, it was so long ago now. I think it was economist.com. I remember that we were laughing about it, but my husband was like so jealous of my email address. I kept sending him emails. Like the first email I sent, look at that. Oh my God, look at that. Just that email address and that signature. Just, I felt immense pride working for that brand. Just like you, I'm a big fan of their work, and they're just the brightest people as well. Yes. I think that's what really intimidated me about doing that project work for them, because I was working with this incredibly talented, incredibly kind and smart people, and then I come in. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to sell myself short. I know I have a lot to offer, but it was definitely out of my comfort zone, and I did it scared, to be frank, the work I did. So I was working with their events team actually for curating programs for their signature events, for one of their like most prestigious events in the region. So the people that were on that project were just amazing, and I'm still in touch with them today, with all of them. And actually, one of the people that was the head there of the events program at the time turned into the first guest of my program when she changed roles and also jumped. You know, I think she made a much bigger step, of course, because she had been with the brand for decades. And then she went into the NGO sector after that. So, you know, the first time they came with a project to me, so that was my maternity. There was a maternity break. And then they knew that I would end at a certain time, or I said at a certain time, I would be able to come back for doing work for them. And then they reached out to me and knocked on the door like, Regina, can you come back? Can you do this project for us? And I said no. And the first no was quite easy. It didn't feel so bad. I thought, okay, if I say no now, maybe in a couple of months, I could still go back, right? And then a couple of months passed, and I started with working on my podcast more and more. And then they came back again and said, oh, now we have this project. I think this would be perfect for you. Can you help us out? And I said no again. And then when I said no the third time, I knew that they wouldn't come back. Like, then they understand that now I have really committed to building my own podcast and my own brand. And as I said, I mean, I stayed in touch with the people that have been working there at the time. It's wonderful to still be like connected to them. Some have moved, some are still with The Economist, but it felt scary, Annabelle. Really, I felt like an idiot in a way. Yeah, like why would I not? And I said no also to paid work. That's another thing. Like, there was a paycheck waiting for me, but you know, how could I frame it? I just wanted it too much. Like, I wanted it really bad. Like, this podcast idea I had, I was so curious how it would be to hear my voice on a recording, to go to these inspiring people and speak to them. And I just wanted it too much.
Yes, but you did great. And you were right. I think at some point, the calling is so strong. It overcomes everything. It's like you have to listen to it. It's like life is going through you, and it pushed. And at some point, the amount of energy we need to deploy to resist that, it's not possible. So you have to go with it no matter what. I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad. And you used the word committed. And that's, I think it's beautiful. That means you have decided to commit to it, to commit to your calling, to what felt right for you. And that's a beautiful image, that when actually we are tuned to ourselves and we find that our calling, then we just have to commit to it. It's beautiful. And be curious, because you're right, that life is surprising, and look at where it brought you. And I mean, it's not going to stop now. So who knows? In 100 more episodes.
What's going to happen then? Yes. I always tell that to my podcasting clients I work with as well. Like, you think you know what you're getting into, but you don't. And it's oftentimes, of course, I work with a lot of people that are really just they just want to get started, right? They just want to launch this podcast at first. So, and I know I can relate to that so much. It is about that big milestone of, you know, having your podcast listed in Apple and Spotify and like just to get the podcast out there. But then the exciting part, like where I get
joy,
really fired up, is what comes next, you know, what's after launch day, where will it take you? And then you always have to expect the unexpected, because I haven't met a single person that started a podcast and consistently runs it that has not been totally blown away by what opportunities it brought.
Wow. You made it. Sounds wonderful. I want to know. That's amazing.
Annabelle, you are in for a ride. Expect the unexpected. Sure.
I'm already talking to you on the podcast. So that's, for me, it's quite an accomplishment. Yeah. Can you share with us one advice? Because you coach a lot of podcast beginner or not so beginner, actually, how to grow and to develop and to find your voice in all shapes and size. But what it takes to be an entrepreneur, what do we have to overcome to make that happen?
To listen intentionally to your own dreams you're having with this. I'm doing that regularly, checking in with 2016 Regina when I did my first research about the podcast and where I'm now. I think that's something it sounds easy because it's just one word or two, listen intentionally.
Yes.
It's super hard to do it, but
it is.
I think that's what you are doing here as well.
Thank you so much, Regina. Going inward beautifully. And thank you for all this advice.
Thank you so much, Annabelle.
I hope you have enjoyed listening to Regina as much as I did. You can listen to #impact through your usual provider or visit a website, #impact.com. All links are available in this episode. This episode comes to an end. To make sure you don't miss the next one, you can subscribe through your favorite app or provider. Thank you for listening and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.